الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجعلنا نومكم سباتا، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So we're continuing the series on du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that he would recite, or he would recommend that we recite on at some regular interval. And in particular, we're trying to choose du'as that perhaps we haven't already put into practice. Now, one thing to note is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reason that we're going into depth with these du'as, rather than just trying to memorize it and move on, is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although he was reciting these with his tongue, the supplications he would make were simply a manifestation of what was in his heart. So when we are reciting this as well, then we should reflect upon it. It shouldn't be lip service. It should be a manifestation of what lies in our heart as well. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yesterday we went over the du'a of Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When we leave the house and we're saying this, we should be thinking, well, is this present within my heart? Because I'm supplicating to my Lord, I should manifest what's in my heart. So today's dua is the dua of when we wake up in the morning. We do this every single day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this dua is narrated in the books of both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. The dua is Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. Again, الحمد لله الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. So let's go over it. The first word, the first two words, الحمد لله. الحمد لله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is teaching us here that the first thing that we should think of in the morning, the first thing, anything, the first being we should think of in the morning is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we start our day. We begin our day proclaiming that there is nothing worthy of praise except Allah. As we go throughout our day, when we wake up in the morning, there's usually then a series of things that we go through. We wake up, we go to the restroom, we brush our teeth, we might make wudu, we might pray, then we will attend to whatever we need to attend to. Some of us will have families, children, parents that we need to attend to. We go to school, we go to work, and then we come back. And so there's a series of things that we're going to attend to. And every single thing throughout the day is going to seek our attention. It's going to seek our praise. There's going to be people at work that are going to seek your praise. Your car is going to seek your praise. Your home is going to seek your praise. But when we first wake up in the morning, Allah Ta'ala is reminding us that there's nothing actually worthy of praise except me. Allah Ta'ala is reminding us. So this is something that we must heed. That we begin our day with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. It comes in narration that Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a person either enters his home or a person when they go to sleep, one angel and one shaitan, and this is narrated in Bukhari, one angel and one shaitan race toward that individual. They rush toward that individual. In these two circumstances, one angel, one shaitan, they rush toward the person as soon as they enter into their home and as soon as they go to bed at night, or when they're going to bed at night. And the angel says, seal it with good. Seal this person with good. And shaitan says, seal this person with evil. Then, if a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by taking Allah ta'ala's name, shaitan goes away and the angel remains a protector of him or her. And if the person doesn't remember Allah Ta'ala during these two times, then the angel goes away and then shaitan becomes that person's protector. So when we go to bed at night, we take Allah Ta'ala's name as well. Right? This is a separate dua which we're not going to cover. But even when we're going to bed at night, we take Allah Ta'ala's name with the hope that the angel will be protecting us. Any action that we do, we talked about this yesterday in detail, any action that we ever begin, anything that we ever do, any undertaking, we always begin with the name of Allah Ta'ala, and waking up in the morning, there's absolutely no exception. That we begin by taking the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now, if we look at our own life and we think, well, what's the first thing that we do when we wake up in the morning? I think it varies perhaps by culture or by generation. But for many people, the first thing nowadays that we do is we reach over, grab our cell phone, and look at it. That's how we begin our day, or that's how we begin our morning. And this could be 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. Not only is it unhealthy psychologically, but it's unhealthy spiritually as well, because then you're beginning your day with what's most important to you, which is the phone. But or it used to be maybe the television, or it used to be our toothbrush, or it used to be speaking with the person, you know, our bed partner, our wife, or, you know, if we're married, our husband. But the Prophet was reminding us that, look, the first thing you should do when you wake up in the morning, however you want to do it, you decide. If you don't want to recite the du'a, that's fine. But you should always begin the day by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we're talking about beginning with Allah ta'ala, there's another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that you probably might have heard this, that when a person wakes up in the morning, they wake up with 3 knots that are tied. We've heard this hadith, right? 3 knots. And then there's 3 steps that a person will then undertake to untie those knots. So this occurs every single time. When a person wakes up, there's 3 knots that shaitan basically ties. Physically, you can't see them. The 3 knots that are tying a person down, and this is what makes it difficult for a person to actually wake up and then continue through their day. This is why we might feel really tired in the morning. So the 3 ways by which the Prophet told us to remove these knots, the first way is by taking Allah Ta'ala's name. If we take Allah Ta'ala's name when we first wake up, our eyes open and we say Alhamdulillah, we say Bismillah, then that first knot becomes untied. And then the next step is that you go and make wudu. With that wudu, the second knot is untied. And then the Prophet ﷺ advises that the third thing to do is that you pray 2 rak'ah of salah quickly. 2 quick rak'ah of salah, and then that third knot is untied. So this is the etiquette of how we wake up. That we wake up with the name of Allah, we wake up with making wudu, and we wake up praying 2 rak'ah. And before doing anything else, this should be the ideal start to a day, assuming that, you know, we wake up in the morning. So there's 2 times that a person can wake up in the morning. In the ideal situation, a person wakes up for tahajjud. So we wake up, we say Alhamdulillah, or Alhamdulillah, we write this dua, we get out of bed, we make wudu, our second knot is untied, and then we pray 2 quick rak'ah. In tahajjud, the first 2 rak'ah that we pray should be 2 very quick rak'ah, because otherwise we can put ourselves right back to sleep if we prolong our salah. Okay, and then if we wake up for Fajr prayer, the same rule will apply. The 2 rak'ah that we pray before the Fajr prayer, that sunnah should also be performed very quickly. It comes in hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha, about the Prophet. She said that his 2 rak'ah before the Fajr prayer were so quick that she wondered if he had even recited anything in the salah. That's how quickly those 2 rak'ah were performed. So keep that in mind, that this is how we begin our morning. Now, when we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first thing in the morning, we're actually making dua to Allah ta'ala. We're actually making dua. I think we wonder, how is Alhamdulillah, which more or less translates into praise be to Allah or thank you Allah, how is that a supplication? It comes in another hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, أَفْضَلُ الذِّكْرِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that the best form of remembering Allah is لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. وَأَفْضَلُ الدُّعَاءِ, the best dua, the best supplication is Alhamdulillah. The best supplication is Alhamdulillah. Well, how is the best supplication Alhamdulillah? The ulama say it's because if a person just spends the day or spends their time praising Allah and thanking Allah and raising His great name, that's so dear to Allah Ta'ala that He takes care of whatever wish, desire, or need the believer has. You know, when we make dua, we often ask, oh Allah, grant us this, oh Allah, grant us that, oh Allah, give me this, give me that. But we don't actually know if all of these things in our best interest. We do ask them, we should, but we don't actually know if it's in our best interest. But on the other hand, if we left it to Allah Ta'ala to just take care of every need that we have, every desire that we have, then that would be sufficient for us. So this is why Alhamdulillah, praising Allah Ta'ala, is the best dua, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. The best dua. And also when we are making dua to Allah Ta'ala, in general, when we raise our hands and make dua to Allah Ta'ala, we learn from this too that we should spend time praising Allah Ta'ala before we ask Him for what we need. Even if we spent the entire dua just praising Allah, it would have been sufficient. But at least some amount of time we should spend praising Allah, saying that, Yo Allah, Ya Allah, You are great, Ya Allah, You are supreme, Ya Allah, You are Khaliq, Ya Allah, You are Jabbar, Ya Allah. Whatever language we want to use, it could be in English, it could be in Arabic, we just begin by praising Allah Ta'ala and singing. This is what the rest of the universe does. Everything but the creation of Allah praises Allah. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْهَرْضِ, whatever is contained in the heavens, everything in the heavens and everything in the earth sings the praises of Allah. The exception is the human being. So we should sing the praises of Allah Ta'ala when we begin to supplicate to Him. Now, Let's continue. Alhamdulillahilladhi ahyana. So we're not just saying Alhamdulillah here, although you can draw all these lessons from just Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahilladhi, that being who? Alhamdulillah alladhi, that being who? Who what? Ahyana ba'dama amatana. Who gave me life again after I passed away, or after I died. Alhamdulillahilladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. To that being that gave me life. Now, what is meant by giving life? Think about it. Now, let's focus on the ahyana part. What it meant for Allah Ta'ala to bring us into existence. How complex this must have been, right? We would never, if we were left to our own means, we would never be able to bring anything into existence. Animals, you know, plants, human beings, nothing. Allah Ta'ala created us, and this is a blessing beyond blessing. If it weren't for Him, we wouldn't be in existence. If it weren't for Him, we wouldn't be here right now. If it weren't for Him, we wouldn't be striving for the fruits of Jannah. If it weren't for Him, we'll never be able to experience Jannah. It is Allah Ta'ala's mercy and only His mercy that brought us into existence. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana. Ya Allah, thank You for bringing me into existence. Thank You for making me alive. Thank you for making me something. Allah Ta'ala, when He decided to create us, it's very possible that He created us as material that was used for this carpet, or the wood that was used for, I don't know if this is real wood or not, it doesn't sound like it, but whatever, what this is, it could have been this plank right here. It could have been a blade of grass outside. All of these things are Allah Ta'ala's creation, and each one was strategically designed and placed by Allah Ta'ala. There are millions of insects that are roaming underneath us right now. Millions of insects that are underneath us, you know, crawling underneath us. Each one was strategically created and placed by Allah Ta'ala. It could have been that Allah Ta'ala made us one of those insects. He didn't. Alhamdulillah, He chose to make us from the best of creation, which were human beings. And Alhamdulillah, when He decided to create us, He decided to create us from amongst those that believe in Him, and from amongst those that are from the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. If we were to think and reflect upon this for the entire rest of the day, it wouldn't be sufficient. And so we are reminded to wake up with this. Alhamdulillahilladhi ahyana. Ya Allah, thank You for creating me. But thank You for creating me, or thank You for giving me life. And then beyond that, ba'da ma amatana. Thank You for giving me life after You took my life away, or after I had passed away. Look, when we're sleeping, it's like the sister of death, that's what it's called. When a person goes to bed at night, it is more or less equivalent to the state of death. And there's a few reasons for this, or there's a few thoughts with regards to this. The first is that when we're sleeping, we aren't able to care for ourselves. We are lifeless, if you will. We are lifeless. When a person is in their grave, it's the same scenario. You are by yourself, you're lying down, you're probably facing the right, which is the sunnah when you're sleeping. You're probably facing, at least your head is facing toward the right side, and you are completely lifeless. Completely lifeless. The rest of the world moves on. Everything still happens in every part of the country, in every part of the world. All of these, all of these things that make the news. Everything is still continuing. Your family's still alive. Your children are still doing what they need to do. Your workplace is continuing to move on. You are completely lifeless. When a person goes to sleep, it's the same scenario. The rest of the world is continuing. You yourself are lifeless during that time. And in fact, what happens when a person goes to sleep is that for a period of time, the soul is actually removed from the body. And then, it's placed back. If Allah Ta'ala chooses to remove, when He removes our soul from our body, not to place it back into us, then that's it. We're done. Our life is done. And there are thousands of people that tonight will go to bed not realizing their soul's coming out, and then it's not going to be returned. This will happen to us one day. We'll go to bed, we won't know, we'll assume that our soul is going to be returned to us the next day, but we don't know. We don't know. It's purely Allah Ta'ala's decision. If He decides to put our soul back into us, then we'll wake up and we'll continue on with our life in this journey called life. So this is how it's considered the sister of death. And even, physiologically, when a person goes into sleep, especially into a deep sleep, you eventually reach a state of sleep called REM sleep. And when you're in REM sleep, you lose complete tone of every muscle of your body, with the exception of the muscles that control eye movements, right? That's why you have eye movements during REM sleep. But the rest of your tone is completely gone. Like if you were in a deep sleep and I was to come and kind of move your arm, you know, open it like this, there'd be no tone in your muscles. Every muscle in your body has essentially lost complete tone. That has to be returned to us. If we were to try to mimic that, right, you'd have to paralyze a person to reach that sort of a state. This happens when we're going to bed every single night. So it's when a person passes away, immediately when a person passes away, before rigor mortis kicks in after a few hours, that person is completely lifeless, meaning their muscles are completely lifeless. There's no tone in them whatsoever. So this is how sleep is the sister of death. There's no guarantee that Allah Ta'ala will return our soul. There's no guarantee that we'll get our tone back. All of these things are occurring when we're sleeping. So when we first wake up in the morning, we're praising Allah, that Ya Allah, You took my life away for a period of time. I had passed away for a period of time and You gave me my life back. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma atana. All praise, not a little bit of praise, not praise, all praise. Whatever definition you can attribute to praise is for You, Ya Rab. Why? Because You created me, or You gave me life after I had passed away. Wa ilayhin nushur. And to Him is our return. We're waking up in the morning and we're reminding ourselves after we wake up, after He's woken us up, He's given us life after He took away our life. We're thanking Him that He's given us another day to live, another day to experience, another day to interact with one another, another day to enjoy. But then we're then reminding ourselves, as soon as we realize, I'm awake, Alhamdulillah, I'm awake, Ahyana ba'da ma amatana, I'm awake, I've been given life again after I had passed away. Thank you, Ya Allah. Oh wait, wa ilayhi nushur. But ultimately, I'm going to return back to You anyway. Ultimately, my return is right back to You. Allah Ta'ala is reminding us that every single human being that's ever come into existence, every human being will return back to Allah Ta'ala eventually. There's no exception to this rule. And Allah Ta'ala references this in the Quran. And the last verse that was revealed in the Quran was toward the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, to the Prophet was revealed, and Allah Ta'ala says, "Wattaqu yawman turja'una fihi ila Allah." Fear the day turja'una fihi ila Allah, in which you will have to return back to Allah Ta'ala. Fear that day. And so when we wake up in the morning, we're reminding ourselves that just as I had left this world, my soul had left for a few hours, a little period of time, just as if that had occurred. Allah Ta'ala chose to bring me back, but there will come a day where I will not come back. My soul will not return to me. I am going to return back to my Creator, and that means that I need to now spend the rest of my day serving my Creator. There's nothing more worthy of my attention than service to Allah Ta'ala. There's nothing more worthy of my attention than my service to Allah Ta'ala. Because now I know, I realize that every moment of time from now until when I go to bed again at night, every moment of time I'll be accountable before my Lord, because I'm going to return to Him and I'm going to have to detail every single hour of the day. And that's what's happening. That I wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning and I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock at night. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ When I return back to Him, I have to take account for every hour from 7 o'clock until 10 p.m. at night. Every little thing that I did, I'll have to stand before Allah Ta'ala and take account for it. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ So this is what we're being reminded of in this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that's narrated in both Bukhari and Muslim, that when we wake up in the morning, we begin with the name of Allah Ta'ala as we do everything else. And we recite this dua before anything, before we look at our phone, before we speak with anyone, before we get out of bed for that matter, that we wake up and we say, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi nushur. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave me life after I had passed away. Wa ilayhi nushur, and to Him is my return. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to understand this supplication. May Allah Ta'ala make it a means of our salvation in the hereafter. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to become regular and consistent in reciting the adhkar and the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhra da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.